powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm proud to be joined by Karen Stack from Melbourne area. Karen, how are you today?
Good, thanks, Corey. Good to be here.
I'm super excited. Now, before we get started, why don't you tell the audience who you are, how long you've been in the car business, what you're doing now?
Absolutely. I'm Kieran. I'm an Irishman living in Melbourne, Australia. I first met Corey, gosh, must be nearly 18 months ago on Service Drive Live with our friends Eric and Joe. And we've made many, many friends in that time since then. I work for myself. I'm an independent coach and trainer, predominantly working in after sales or fixed operations, and I love helping people reach their potential, specifically service advisors and service managers. They're my favorite secret sauce to work with. So that's who I am in a nutshell. But it's good to be here, Corey.
Yeah, it's great. Very long overdue. I've been wanting to get you on the episode for, gosh, probably after the first time we met. I was really intrigued of your philosophies and just how passionate you are. Because for me personally, that's what drives me, is I want to help an advisor or service manager reach their potential. Like you said, help them control the day, not let the day control them. Right.
So absolutely be proactive in everything we do.
Yeah. So we have a lot of service managers, a lot of advisors listening to this podcast. What are some things you can, you know, kind of give them some tips on that they can work on their own to make them better for tomorrow?
Yeah, there's heaps. Again, whenever I work with someone, either one-on-one or a group setting, I try to identify what the gaps that they have in their performance. Now, to uncover gaps, you often need to dig a little bit deeper, because many people won't let you know what their gaps are or their shortcomings are in the first 30 seconds or even 30 minutes or even sometimes 30 hours of working with them. But it's good to have some skills to uncover those shortcomings and those limiting behaviors. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to uncover those. But for me, I talk about this quite a lot with teams, is there's five levels to service department success. And everything we do should map towards retaining our customers. And I think you had a show recently, Corey, you spoke about customer retention and how significant and important that is to the success of any business, regardless if you're selling cars, selling service, selling chocolate bars, selling coffees. Like, if you don't have customers coming back, you're not going to be around for very long. So no. For me, everything we do should map towards the customers coming back. But for a customer to come back, they must leave satisfied. And satisfied customers are the ones who want to come back and the ones who tell their friends to come back. And I know, Corey, you preach about this quite a lot. And I love hearing you speak about how what you do and how you do it should always map towards a customer wanting to come back. For your business to be working and operating in a profitable manner, everything you do needs to map towards that profitability sector as well. Yeah. So for me, those three KPIs, profitability, customer satisfaction, and retention, are the top three KPIs in any business.
Yeah.
Everything we do needs to map towards them.
And I think we've talked about this before. I think the customer is changing, right? So we've got to change and evolve with it. So that, you know, the new customer may not want what was working 10 years ago, right? So it's looking for those areas of opportunity. I mean, look at some of the most popular businesses, whether it's Amazon or Disney. They've evolved over time. They've changed, right? Amazon used to just sell strictly books. Now they sell everything, right? Now they've changed again where I can have my own business on Amazon, right?
I know, right? It's great.
I go to a yard sale and I can go flip it on eBay or Amazon, right? I can buy something brand new and put a price on it, do a description and sell it, right? Did you ever think we'd ever get to that point? with that business model?
Honestly?
Yeah.
No. Honestly, yeah. No. And I'll tell you why. And for me, the role of a service advisor and a service manager are the most soft skills that is the most soft skills diverse role on the planet. Mm-hmm. The emotions, the turmoil, the success, the joy that advisors and managers, advisors in particular, go through every single day is unlike any other job on the planet. Now, the reason why I say that is because it's a super, super challenging role. And everything we sell in the service department, or 99% of what we sell in the service department, you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, you can't hear it. And if you're weird, you might be able to taste it, but that's a different story. So what we do doesn't evoke any senses more often than not. Mm-hmm. You can't see an oil change. You can't feel an oil change. You can't hear an oil change. You can't taste an oil change. You can't smell an oil change. Like you can't, there's no senses evoked as a result of doing what we do. So for me, that's where the human element comes in. And I mentioned the soft skills. And that's what I specialize in. Communication, human-to-human communication is what I live and breathe. And I know you're saying, Corey, again, how you communicate and how you get a message across and help someone make a buying decision on something they can't touch, see, feel, smell, taste, or hear. Mm-hmm. That is a skill compared to a cup of coffee. You can taste it, you can smell it, you can hear it, you can see it, and you can touch it, you know? Same with something you buy on Amazon, be it a book or be it you buy on Amazon, a toy. Like you can see it, you can touch it, you can feel it, you can smell it, and you can taste it. You cannot do that in the service department. The car comes in for a service, we do the service, we give them a piece of paper and the service sticker's changed and it might be washed. That's it. Without the human experience, without the human experience, it's just a transaction. And remember, the top level of everything we should map towards, retention, you leave that totally up to luck. Mm-hmm. You leave it totally up to convenience. And that's why people choose Amazon, because it's convenience. So it's convenient and it's just a transaction. If we want to retain our customers and keep them buying the same brand at the same dealership, you need to have that human-to-human connection in the service department, hands down, every single day. And I will preach that for the rest of my days.
I 100% agree with you, because you talked about it earlier, is that the customer doesn't want to be there, right? In the first place. So it doesn't matter how shiny your chandeliers are, or if you got an amusement park in your dealership, it all depends on the experience, how they left.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
Because they want a cup of coffee. They don't want to go to the dealership and get an oil change done. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it feeling has a big deal with it. And I think you're 100% right. The advisor has one of the toughest jobs in the industry. They deal with all the emotions. I'm mad at you, even though you didn't build it, right? You didn't break it. I'm mad at you, right? You didn't get my car fixed on time. Now I can't go to work tomorrow. What are you going to do for me? Right. Or the technician broke something. They're responsible for everything. So they deal with so much. And I don't think that's talked enough about where the advisor, where do they go to release all that stress that they get on a day, right? They work 12, 14 hours a day and they have nobody to talk to.
Yeah, I get that. But again, there's always a Sunday night or Sunday morning, Sunday night my time. It's like 11 p.m. my time now. STL is on Service Drive Live. Wow. And you guys are still getting up at 7 a.m. Kudos to you guys. But yeah, it's a little bit late on my end. For those of you on the call who are listening to this podcast who don't know what we're talking about Service Drive Live with Joe and Eric. Shout out to those two legends. And it's every Sunday morning, 7 a.m.
7 a.m. Central time. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great show. And that's a great place to get a conversation going and actually take some time. And it's only an hour. Right.
Yeah.
And you get to hear a nice topic, and you get to hear other people that have the same feelings that you do. Yeah. Right.
And that's the outlet. That's the outlet you can get. And the friends that you and I have both made in the last 18 months has been significant. And it's really, really helped me on my journey.
Mine too.
Amazing.
The support is great. So if you're an advisor out there, or even a service manager, a fixed ops director, I highly recommend that you reach out to Joe and Eric for Service Drive Live. They're on LinkedIn. Be a part of that. If you want some more information, shoot us an email. But that is one way to relieve some of that stress by talking about it. Giving the customer a great experience, holding on to that retention, because we found that if you hold on to that retention, they come back to you over and over and over again, right? So it's easy for you to make a purchase, right? That customer feels more at ease, right? The customer is changing, right? You got kids that are, 16, in 3 or 4 years, they're going to be out on their own. They're going to speak a different language than we do, right? And what you probably teach in your classes, the same as I do, is that the words that we use have a direct correlation with the action that's going to be taken. Right. And we can paint a picture with words, good or bad. Right. And we can leverage technology by taking a video of it. Right. But it's still has to be that personal connection. Mm-hmm. If I don't have a personal connection with you, I'm not going to buy from you.
100%. And that's what level two is for me. Again, earlier on, I mentioned the five levels. The top three are retention, customer satisfaction, and profitability. And to make a profit, you got to sell something, right? To make a profit, you have to sell something, but you can't sell until you have rapport. And rapport is just a feeling of total responsiveness between two people. It's all it is. It's just a feeling. And that's what you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Corey. It's just a feeling. I feel that we're friends, right? And then I feel that we're in good vibe together. And it's just a feeling between two people by the words. I've never seen you from below your shoulders. You know what I mean? I've never seen
right.
that.
Right.
But I can tell by your facial expressions, by your tonality, by your smile that you're doing right now, that you just get me and I get you. And we're in rapport. Rapport is just a feeling between two people that they're on the same level. But before you can get into rapport with someone, there has to be that ounce of trust. It has to be a small little bit of trust. And John Maxwell taught me this. John Maxwell says that the equation for getting into trust with someone is very, very simple. You show you care. And Robert Sebastian talks about that all the time. You show you care. You show you can help. And you get trust. A small bit. And the beauty of that trust is that the more you connect and the more you're a real person, well, the quicker you get into rapport. So trust is the gateway to rapport. Showing care and showing help is the gateway to trust.
I love that. That's interesting but how do you do it so fast, right? I mean, the new customer, we've talked about this at length, and I'll go back to my parents. My dad wouldn't buy anything that he couldn't touch, feel, or anything, right? He went to the traditional store, he pulled it off the shelf, he put it in his cart, and then he bought it, right? Now we've evolved where I did all my Christmas shopping online, didn't go to a single store.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have to, I know what my daughter wants, right? I pick it out, I put it in my cart and I buy it. Right. Now your customer is even changing even more than you and I. What is that looking like going in the future to building that trust and that rapport?
Well, you got to compare apples to apples here, Corey. And I say this all the time because you're not getting someone a car service for Christmas. It's a different style of purchase. It can't be just put in the same basket. And I think people get confused about that. And it's a good point to raise. But going back to what you said, I think to get into that level of trust with someone, like everything rises and falls on a first impression. Everything rises and falls on a first impression. And same as when I saw you for the first time, I was like, wow, that's an awesome studio. Look at that. That's amazing. It wasn't the studio. It was the bookshelf.
The bookshelf.
I'm like, wow, look at this guy. This incredible bookshelf. I said, Corey, you read a lot of books. And you're like, yeah, I read a lot of books. Gee, and what are the ones on the shelf behind you? And behind you, you touched your green screen and it moved. And I'm like, what? That's amazing. But that was a first impression. And with that first impression of you, I was like, this guy's super intelligent. He's smiling at me. He seems a little bit laid back and seems like a genuine bloke because you can see it in your skin color. You can see it in your skin tone. You can see it in your your eyes and your smile and your breathing. You can see all those things, but and it's all right there in front of you. And we all decide within 4 to 7 seconds whether or not I should be running from this person or running towards this person.
Right.
Fight or flight. And that's a first impression. Everything rises and falls in a first impression. Now, you said earlier on that words matter. Like, words are so critical. And I learned this in a recent training, Corey, that the word spelling, you know spelling?
Mm-hmm.
S-P-E-L-L-I-N-G. It's a very purposeful word because spell, S-P-E-L-L, is what you cast on people to in put them in trance or to put them under your what word am I looking for here? Under your spell. Yeah. So you cast spells to put someone under a control, if you will.
Control.
Right?
Yeah.
Please don't take that out of context or the wrong way. I'm just struggling for words here at what time is it where I am? 10:30 PM here in Western Australia, because I'm on tour at the moment. So where am I going with this? So yeah, words cast spells. That's where it's come from. So witches and wizards would cast spells, S-P-E-L-L, and our words can do good and evil.
Right.
But if you use them purposely, they can be so advantageous to your approach. And I say this all the time, and again, any Australians that are listening to this, and I know you said there's a few percent of your listenership is Australian. What we say in the first 30 seconds decides, what we say in the first 30 seconds decides whether or not we actually get into trust with someone, because they're looking for care and they're looking to be helped. And that's empathy and competence. And if you appear really empathetic and really, really nice and sweet and caring, but it's your first day because you told them, or it just appears you don't know what you're talking about, they're not going to trust you.
Right.
But if you appear like an arrogant POS and you're just like, yeah, I'm a master tech. Yeah, I know everything about everything. And you're very, very competent, but you're a jerk. They're not going to trust you. They're not going to like you. So you need to balance those two things. And again, I know you and I have spoken at length about emotional intelligence and first of all, becoming self-aware, then regulating yourself, and then improving your communication skills along with the other two aspects as well. Like, it's not just a matter of turning up for work, greeting customers in the driveway or at reception, checking their cars in, updating them during the day, which is not optional, and then seeing them out at the end of the day and taking their money. That's not what service advising is. It's so much deeper and so much more than that. And the high performers know that, Court. You and I were both at service advisors for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's the best job in the world.
I loved it. I sometimes I miss it.
Sometimes.
I'm actually going to a dealership tomorrow, and I'm going to write service for 2 or 3 days.
How good is that? That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's coming up to the weekend, so you can sleep at the weekend.
Right. But you're absolutely right. That first 30 seconds, right, and the words that we use, but the advisor has such a hard time because if they're writing 10, 15 cars a day, some of those, they get yelled at by the customer. They got yelled at by their boss, right? It's hard.
Gosh.
It's hard for them to close that door, isn't it?
Well, why are they getting yelled at?
Something's broke on the customer's car and the customer's just upset.
So again, it goes back to that EQ perspective, whereby if you can regulate your response, you will remain in a positive state for longer. But if you choose, or if your mind chooses to accept that as fault and to take it as a negative,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to last in this role. You're simply not.
So mindset, you're saying mindset has a lot to do with it. Okay.
And I say this all, I said it to a lecturer that at a university recently. I said, all of your graduates who are automotive professionals, they should all spend 6 months in the service department as advisors. And if they last 6 months or even 12 months, it will set them up for success because they'll be so well-rounded in their ability to communicate and get a message across, give good news, give bad news, handle massive complaints, handle simple complaints, sell additional work, sell things the car needs 100% of the time. It's such an all-rounded skill set. But most advisors get the three C's on their first day. There's a computer, there's a chair, see you later. And it's just not good enough. And that's where you and I come in, Corey. Again, I learn from you, you learn from me. We learn from everyone on a Sunday morning. And it's just powerful. Like, nobody knows at all. There's no one out there who knows at all. No. And every day, I was at a dealership today. I learned things. I was like, that's interesting. And you just store it in your mind and you can reproduce more people. But just before we finish up, because I know it's we're getting on to 20 minutes here, but just in that initial meet and greet, and I said earlier on that everything rises and falls in a first impression. And if you're meeting someone in the morning, there's only one greeting that you can say. There's only one greeting that's appropriate, in my opinion. And in the afternoon, there's only one greeting that's appropriate in the afternoon. And the greeting for the morning is very, very simple. It's good morning.
Right.
And the greeting in the afternoon is good afternoon. And if you haven't met that person already, so Corey, if you were in my driveway or at my reception, I would greet you like that. I'd say, good morning. I don't know who you are yet, Corey. I'm just saying good morning to you. It's a greeting. And I say it in a tonality the inflection is upward at the end. Good morning. And I ask this question. Four words. How can I help? It's not. Are you dropping your car off for a service? Are you checking your car in today? What are you here for? Have you got an appointment? This is one of your favorites. Yeah, right. You hate this one. Have you got an appointment?
Oh,
are you booked for today? It kills you, doesn't it?
It doesn't even sound right.
So don't ask those stupid questions. There's one question. Good morning. How can I help? Up inflection at the end. How can I help? And the customer will answer how you can help them. And I said this all the time as well, that customers or people go into the sales department to browse, but they come to the service department for one reason and one reason only, and it's to be helped. And if you start with that, remember, care and help equals trust. Start with help. They will say, yeah, I'm dropping my car off for a service, or I'm here for a puncture, or I've got an engine light on. If you're the person who can help them, reply simply, perfect, I can definitely help you with that. Perfect, I can definitely help you with that is a power line, because mm-hmm. perfect means spot on, 100% accurate.
You're in the right place. Yep.
And I can definitely help you with that is 100%. I can absolutely definitely help you with that. And that's a power line. And if you use that, you tick off that help box that they're looking to have ticked off. And there it flows into care. Yeah, I can. And the caring is just a feeling that they have about you. You're empathetic, you're genuine, you're nice, you're warm, you're just engaging. And that's what caring is.
Man, I love that. So, I'm sure you talk about this in when you have your classes, but I always tell the advisors, you're on stage, right?
No time.
Give them the best of yourself, right?
Yeah.
And saying perfect, that's a power word. Just like you said, you're in the right place. It puts that customer at ease because we know they don't want to be there. They'd rather have a root canal than come to the dealership, right? Mm-hmm. So now by you saying, I can help, and when they tell you what it is, saying perfect, yeah. Meaning you're in the right place.
Yeah.
It builds all that stuff.
The beauty of perfect, and I normally don't share this, but I want to share it today.
Awesome.
Perfect is a spell. So the beauty of the word perfect is that the brain loves it. It loves the word perfect because throughout school, from 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, 12, 15, 18, all the way up to the end of high school, you were getting perfects from your teachers. And your teacher would say, hey, Corey, what's 20 plus 20?
40.
What is it? 40, perfect. Corey, what's 495 divided by 17?
No idea.
Come on, Corey. We did it last week. You're better than that. So one of the answers you got correct and the other answer you didn't because you weren't listening last week in class. One of them made you feel good. The other one didn't.
right.
So when you said the answer to 20 plus 20, what did I say to confirm that it was correct?
Perfect.
So when you were in school, you got correct, accurate, spot on, or perfect. They all mean the same thing. And as a result of getting the answer correct and the teacher praising you at any age, from all the way from 4 up to 18, the word perfect releases a hit of dopamine in your brain and you love it. The brain loves it. The unconscious mind loves it. Hmm. And the unconscious mind, when it hears perfect, even as a 40-year-old man or a 30-year-old man or a 50-year-old woman or whoever you, whatever age and gender you are, it loves it. And as whoever gives it to them, whoever uses the word perfect with them, feels that hit of dopamine. Sorry, they will feel the hit of dopamine, and the person who's given them the hit of dopamine, which is you, the advisor, as one of the first things that they experience in the driveway, you're another hero.
Yeah.
They love you. Now, this is tiny. It's so small, but it adds up. And if it happens in the first 10 seconds, beauty. Absolutely. That's connection 101. And from there, use it throughout your presentation. The conscious mind doesn't recognize it. The subconscious mind loves it.
Yeah.
Perfect. I can definitely help you with that. And yeah, is there anything else I can do for you? Yeah, I'd love a lift to the train station. Perfect. I can definitely arrange that one for you. Perfect. I can definitely do something. Changes minds, changes lives. Seriously, they'll be eating out of your hand because they will feel that they're like you.
Kieran, that's perfect. I love those tips.
Good one. Good on you, Corey.
That's great stuff. And I wish we could go. We should do a part two. This is awesome. I love the fact that we just talked about service advisors and the service department, because I really think, again, that the advisor and the manager and the team itself has one of the most difficult jobs, right? You get shown, here's your desk, here's your polo, your computer, here you go, good luck. That is not training. That's not helping anybody, right? And if you want that customer to come back, Mr. Owner, you need to invest in training. Now, I want to slide before we end on this podcast, is you've written a little book, right? And can you tell everybody the name of it?
it's a very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a very it's a very advanced book. No, it's not. It's very, very basic. It's called Service Advisor 101, A Blueprint to Becoming a High-Performing Service Advisor. It's a 30-minute read. If you don't have 30 minutes to invest in your career, you're in the wrong career. And if you want it, it's on Amazon. It's $15. If you don't want it, don't worry about it. Stay the same. It's all good. I'll still breathe. I'll still be able to live. Don't worry about me. If you want it, it's there. It's a super useful resource. Every manager should have one. Every manager should have one and use it as a coaching tool. In it, there's reflection pages. You can have your team benchmark themselves and look for ways that they can increase performance pretty much in everything we've spoken about today, Corey. Like, they're the fundamentals. They're the 101s. Mm-hmm. And that's what the book discusses and talks about. And if I had this book when I started advising, I would have been a lot further, a lot quicker, and I would have been a lot more comfortable. And I wouldn't have, and this is a fact, I would not have been as concerned or as worried or as upset by customers who are annoyed at their vehicle. The customer isn't annoyed at you. They're annoyed at their vehicle. Mm-hmm. And you're the person who needs to put the fire out. If you connect with them on an emotional level, as opposed to getting annoyed with them or getting emotional with them, don't connect with them. Don't resist them. Just connect with them. They want to be helped. They came for help. Things aren't exactly perfect, but you can still use that word.
I love that, Kieran. Thank you so much. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email, csmith@nationalautocare.com. Kieran, that is all the time that we have for today. I'm so blessed and so proud of you for what you've done. Thank you for all the stuff you've done for this industry. I appreciate you being on this podcast. And I'll end with this last question. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. Thanks, Corey.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Pasha. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.